So the title to the sermon today is, What is Jesus Up To? Well, what's going on in our culture? A lot has changed. You've heard me say before that we have changed more in the last 30 years than in the 300 years before that. Today, the basic Comcast lineup of TV programs includes 140 channels. And the next step up has 200 channels. We should be able to find anything that we want to watch. And yet, we are going back to the 80s and we're regenerating sitcoms that were popular back then. Murphy Brown is being resurrected. Roseanne is being resurrected. To Tell the Truth is being resurrected. Frequently, we hear about Throwback Thursdays. And there's lots of shows that were popular in the 90s that are now once again popular, but in syndication. People just seem to know that there's something missing in their lives and they can't find it. It's not in 200 TV channels. And I think they're going to find out that it's not in the sitcoms from the 80s. Perhaps they're trying to fill a God-shaped hole in their heart, and they just don't know that. Some people say that we are coming to the end of one age and beginning another, and we are in a time of transition. And that makes sense to me, because we don't know if we're going forward or if we're going backward. Whatever the case, whether it's a new age or an old age or no age at all, this is where God has placed us. So how are we as Christians supposed to respond to that? What's going on? Better yet, what is Jesus up to? Simply stated, he is up to the mission of trying to save souls because he came to earth and died that they might be saved. And he still offers that entire salvation to the whole world. So that means that he's already out there working. He's already out there doing. He's already bringing people to the point of ripeness so that they are ready to hear his word and to join with him. And so where do we fit into all of this? For some time we have been struggling in this congregation to try to figure out what it is that we are supposed to do. We're concerned not only about the future of this congregation, but the future of the church in general. I've seen predictions that if the current rate of decline continues in the LCMS, by 2060 the LCMS will no longer exist. It's just over 40 years from now. Not very long in lives like ours who are well beyond 40 years. We have known that we need to be doing something, but what? We can't figure it out. We looked at LCMS demographic data, and that didn't seem to have the answer. We looked at the legacy videos from the district. We watched legacy churches. We looked and talked to the 72, a group that was going to come out and talk to us. We considered a program called Vision Path, and we decided that was not for us either. At one point, a couple years ago, we had a vision committee that was supposed to figure out a vision for our congregation. And some of the things that we did came to pass. We have a website, and it's a good website, and we get 70 or 80 hits on that every week. And I would really like to know who those people are, but I don't. But God does, and he's reaching them. And we have a Facebook page, and I post on that, and Linda posts on that, and other people post on that, and we get some feedback on that. A lot of people like that message in a minute that I send out every week. We know that we would like to bring Jesus to Christ, people to Christ. But in today's society, we're just at a loss. what used to work 50 to 75 years ago just doesn't work anymore. And so for the past 40 years or so, we just have not been very successful. And when I say we, I mean more than just this congregation. I'm talking about Christianity in general. I've heard it said, if we continue to do what we've always done, we'll continue to get what we've always got. If we continue doing what we have been doing in the past, we'll continue not to grow. And so what is it that we are supposed to do? What's the problem here? We talked this morning in Sunday school that the problem might be us. It might be our mindset. You see, our mindset has been backwards. Because we've been saying, well, we should go out for Jesus. We should go out to save souls. Do you see a problem there? We don't save souls. It's Jesus who saves souls. So might we not be better off to go out with Jesus? He's already got a plan. What we've been doing has not worked out very well. To use that question of Dr. Phil, how's that working out for you? And the answer is, not very good. But you see, Jesus is not struggling. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. He's planning for all of this. In Matthew 28, he commands us to go out and baptize and teach. But he also says at the very end of that, because behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what is this joining Jesus business all about? So what if we change our mindset? What if we decided that since only Jesus can do Jesus things, we let him go out there and do those Jesus things? What if we go out with him rather than for him, rather than try to replace him? Let me see if I can make a little comparison here to help you understand this whole concept. We've got a couple of tomatoes in pots in our backyard. And at first, they were just a tomato plant. And then after a few weeks, we began to see little yellow buds. And then a couple of weeks after that, we began to see little green tomatoes. And then those tomatoes got bigger and they got bigger, and some of those tomatoes began to turn red. And I thought, this tomato is probably ready to be picked. And I took a hold of it and I twisted and pulled and I broke the tomato vine because that tomato was not ready to be picked. People are like that tomato. People are not all ready to be picked. Some people need some more time to grow and mature. People are at different stages in their life. They're at different stages in their readiness to accept Jesus. Some may need a friend who just will listen to them and take some time. Some people need a friend who has the integrity to share with them and help them and listen to them. Some people are ready to have a friend who they can talk to about difficult things. Some people are ready to have some deep, long conversations about life in general and maybe even about religions, but those conversations may last for several years. But some people are ripe and they're ready to accept the hope of eternal life that they have in Christ. And so you're going to run into all kinds of people in the coming weeks. And some will need a friend, and some will need somebody to talk to, and some will be ready to say, you know, I haven't been to church in years. I should do that. I can't tell you how many times when I'm out meeting people, people say to me, oh, Emmanuel, yeah, I used to go there. I bet some of those people are ready to come back. All we have to do is gently touch them, and they will be ready to do that. So what is it that Jesus is doing in this society? Why is there all of this searching and this looking? We're not happy with the future. We're not happy with the past. We talked in Sunday school about how Jesus is messing with us. And while that's not necessarily a comfortable feeling for us, we don't like to be messed with. How is Jesus dealing with your status quo? How is he stimulating you? How is the Holy Spirit reaching out to you and talking to you and saying, this is a person that is ready. They need something. Are you ready to provide what they need? Jesus is trying to get our attention. And let me assure you, it's not going to be by a registered letter. It's not going to be by an email. He's not going to call you in the middle of the night and say, Larry, it's time to get up and do this or talk to somebody. It's going to be in a much more subtle way. The Old Testament reading, which I really would like to have preached on this morning, is about Elijah, who killed all 400 of Jezebel's prophets. And she's going to kill him. And he runs out to the desert, eventually getting to a place called Mount Horeb, and he lives in a cave. And God comes to him and says, what are you doing in the cave? Well, I've been had a bad time, and I'm hiding out here, basically, is what he said. God said, go to the mouth of the cave and listen for my voice. So Elijah goes out to the mouth of the cave, and he listens. And there's an earthquake, and God's voice is not in the earthquake. And there's a wind, and God's voice is not in the wind. And then there was a great fire, and God's voice is not in the wind. And then there was silence. And in that silence came God's still, soft voice. In all of the commotion and all of the noise of the fire and the windscape, the fire and the earthquake and the wind, that's not where God is. God is in the silence. He speaks to us quietly. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and talks to us. And so we need to get away from the commotion of the lives of this culture that we're part of today. So as we begin the process of joining Jesus in his mission, we need to be listening for that still small voice. What does that voice say to you? Who does that voice tell you that you need to speak with? Who does that voice tell you need to listen to? That voice will speak differently to each one of us. He will tell you one thing, he will tell me something else. Because you have gifts that I don't have. And each of us have gifts that not everybody else has. And so God will ask us to use the gifts that he has given us. The voice of the Holy Spirit is calling us to be living in a missional-minded world. If you go for Jesus, you're going to be doing all the work yourself. But if you go with Jesus, he's going to do all of the work. And he can accomplish a whole lot more than you or I can. Going out for Jesus is hard. Going out with Jesus can be fun. Going out for Jesus could be exhausting. Going out with Jesus will be energizing. If you go out for Jesus, you're going to wonder, did I do it right? Did I say the right thing? Is there something else I should have done? But if you go out with Jesus, you can say, I wonder what he's going to do next. Going out for Jesus tempts us to try to force people to do things. Going out with Jesus invites us to simply love people and provide what they need and let Jesus use us as his instruments. Going out with Jesus is comforting because in Matthew 28, he commands us to go and to teach and to baptize. But we do that as we live our life. We don't need to make a special trip. We just need to live missionally each day. And we need not fear, because Jesus concludes Matthew 28 by saying, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth." If you go out with Jesus, he will be there for you. Amen. Now may the peace of going out with Jesus, the peace that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.